Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. In verse 1, to everything there is a season. This is something that sometimes we Christians forget about, that to everything there is a season. That our life is not one-dimensional. Sometimes people think, well, I'm a Christian and this is the way things should go, right? Not really. To everything there is a season. The prosperity doctrine completely ignores this idea. The prosperity doctrine says that Christians should only prosper, and if they don't prosper, it's because they don't have enough faith. That's a lot of hooey. Of course there's things that are going to happen to people. We're human beings. We live in a world. It's not all about temporal prosperity. Paul said, I would that you prosper as your soul prospers. To everything there is a season. Now, that being said, the Word of God does say in 2 Corinthians 4:15 that all things are for your sake. So whatever the season is, ultimately it's for your sake. But nevertheless, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. God has a plan that involves all these different purposes that He has for you. That purpose, whatever it is, and there's a lot of them, we'll find a time when it's fulfilled. It's not all going to be fulfilled all at once. It will find a time when it's fulfilled. And by fulfilled, I don't mean in position in heaven before God. That's already done. I mean in your experience here on earth. Remember, your experience and your position are two different things. God is working on conforming your experience to your position. He wants your experience to be more and more like your position. Then he continues in verse 2, there's a time to be born and a time to die. These are preordained by God. David said, teach me to number my days. He knew that there was a time to be born and a time to die. Yes, it's difficult, separation always is, but that death is necessary. If there was no death, then ultimately humanity would live in constant separation from God. For a born-again believer, the time to die is a time to go home. It's like God calling you off the mission field and bringing you into His house. There's a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. Yes, by the way, there is a time to kill. There are some people who object to war, and I'm not saying war is a good thing, but sometimes it's a necessary thing in an evil world. Sometimes people have trouble with the fact that someone has killed in war. There is a time for that. I'm not saying it's okay to go out and kill somebody on the street at all. That's called murder. That's different than just killing. There is a reasonable time to kill. That's what the Bible is saying. If you're a soldier in war, that is a reasonable time to kill. If you are somebody who's being attacked and you happen to kill your attacker when you're defending yourself, that is a reasonable time to kill. Hopefully that won't be necessary. But if it is, it's reasonable. Even the court system, when the judges are good, recognizes that this is a reasonable thing. There is a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose. Yes, God may actually intend for you to lose something within His purpose. As a matter of fact, God adds by taking away, and He takes away by adding. I'll let you figure that one out. That's a whole nother message in itself. But that is common. When God adds, often He does it by taking something away. When God takes something away, often He does it by adding something. A time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate. Christians often think to themselves, I shouldn't hate, should I? Love the things God loves, hate the things God hates. And we'll just leave it at that. If you don't understand how a Christian would hate, then just apply that. Love what God loves, hate what God hates. A time for war and a time for peace. Now, all of these times have one thing in common. In verse 11, He has made everything beautiful in its time. No matter what it is that the season is about, whether it's weeping or laughter or joy or sorrow or peace or war or hatred or love or speaking or not speaking, sowing or not sowing, whatever it is, God makes all of it beautiful in the right time. This is the one thing we know for sure. There's a lot of things about God's plan that we don't know, that we don't understand. We don't have the ability as human beings. This is why we trust Him. He knows what He's doing and we trust His love toward us, so we trust when He does something that it's for our benefit. It is. But even though we don't often know what God is doing, we can't quite understand it, because in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, His thoughts and ways are so much higher than ours. There are certain promises that we do have, and one of them is this. He makes absolutely everything beautiful in its time. What negative thing has happened to you? The positive things, they're easy to see how they can be beautiful in their times. But what negative thing happened to you? God makes it beautiful in its time. God will take things that are negative, that are curses, that are hard, that are painful, and He turns them around into things that are beautiful, into things that are blessings. He turns wounds into healing. He turns negatives into positive. He turns curses into blessings. God makes it all beautiful in His time. He's the only one who has the ability to do it, and He does it constantly. Whatever negative thing is in your life, it will become beautiful. Whatever hurtful thing there is in your life, it will become beautiful. Whatever painful, whatever difficult, whatever you want to call it, it will become beautiful. Then it says He has put eternity in their hearts, that is to say our hearts, without which no man can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. Now God's plan deals across all of time. You have a section of that time. But it deals with the whole thing from the very beginning to the very end, and it deals with it all at once. You cannot understand what God is doing if you do not see it from an eternal perspective. For example, you may have trials in your life, whatever the trial is, no matter how hard. You cannot see the benefit of that trial if you do not look at it from an eternal perspective. For example, sometimes people suffer. Well, if I endure suffering in 2 Timothy 2:12, and He brings me into suffering and I endure it, then I'm going to reign with Him. Even that suffering will become a beautiful thing. In its time. In heaven, no one will regret any suffering they experienced on earth. On earth we say, oh, I wish this was over. On earth we say, I wish I could get away from it. On earth we say, oh, this is so hard. Get to heaven, you're not going to have a single thought like that. Get to heaven and you're going to say, oh God, thank you that you brought these difficulties into my life. Thank you that you made me suffer. Thank you. Why? Because the rewards are mind-boggling. You reign for eternity because you suffered. Jesus said, blessed are you when men revile you and speak all manner of evil against you, because great is your reward in heaven. So you may say, oh, this is terrible. People are saying things about me that are wicked. They're not even true. Actually, it doesn't even matter if they're true, but usually they're not. And they're saying all these things that are terrible about you. And you're like, man, I don't want people thinking that about me. In heaven, you will not have that thought. In heaven, you will be like, thank you, God, that they thought all that evil of me. They said all those wicked things about me. They did all those wicked things to hurt me. Thank you, God, because now I have these immense, massive, huge, eternal, never take them away from me rewards. He makes everything beautiful in its time. Whatever the season is, whether it seems positive or negative, it will be beautiful in its time. And in the meantime, in verse 12, I know that nothing is better for man than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. Don't waste your time being sad. Don't waste your time being frustrated. Don't waste your time being anxious. Don't waste your time getting hurt. Don't waste your time with wrong perceptions because of self-orientation. It's a waste of time. It's not good for you. It doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't improve anything. Yeah, you can magnify feeling sorry for yourself all you like, but that's just nothing more than a type of rebellion. Don't go there. Instead, enjoy your life. Well, how can I enjoy my life when all these things are happening? Start with getting over the self-pity. Because it's not based in truth, it's not based in reality. The fact of the matter is that all things are from God, 2 Corinthians 5:18. All things are for your sake, 2 Corinthians 4:15. All things work together for good, Romans 8:28. You don't have to worry about living in self-pity. Oh, I'm so sad and upset that God is going to make me reign forever, that He's going to give me eternal rewards. It's like saying, I'm so disappointed I won the $100 million in the lottery. What a shame. Isn't that terrible? You're a nut. You're living in self-pity. You're a nut. You're nuts. You're literally nuts. You really are. You're nuts. You're crazy. You don't know how to think. You don't know what reality is. You're just Lulu. You're out there. Don't even go there. Don't even think that way. Why waste your time? It's ridiculous. It's stupid. It has nothing to do with reality whatsoever. Oh, but this is what they said. Oh, that's the end of the world. That just means you've got incredible rewards in heaven. What a shame. You're weird. You're genuinely weird when you think like that. God just looks at you just like, Michael, or any other angel, why are they so weird? I just gave them eternal opportunities and phenomenal rewards, and they're crying about it. Somebody help these losers. I mean, really, honestly. People go across the country to get a bigger paycheck. God gives them eternal rewards, and they cry about it. It's like, are you nuts? Yes. The answer is yes. Absolutely, 100% lunatic. Out there, out to lunch, whatever you want to call it, completely crazy. In 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, I love when they start with beloved because something good is coming. Beloved. Now mind ye, called you beloved first. Do not think that it is strange. concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. People enter into trials and say, what's going on here? What's going on here is God is working on you. It's so weird. It's a trial. Don't think it's strange that it's a trial. It's not strange. It's a trial. It's not to be unexpected. God said it would happen. But people get into a trial and they're like, oh my God, what's going on? I'm in a trial. This is so hard. It's not hard. It's not weird. It's not strange. It's not unexpected. God said it would happen. Why didn't you expect what God said would happen? He's going to try you. Why? Because he has to prove you in order to make sure that you are ready for the blessings he's going to give you. He's got to develop you. Do you think you're going to enter reigning for eternity without development? What do you think? He's going to sprinkle pixie dust on you when you get to heaven? Colonel, you are a high-ranking officer in the United States Army. Did you have to be trained for that? You loved boot camp. Did you have to be trained to be an officer? Oh, yes. Do you think you could have been an officer or even a soldier without significant training? Do you think you could have handled it without preparation? Got to be able to hit the target. Can you imagine somebody say, well, I want to be a colonel, I want to be a general, I want to be a major in the Army, and I don't want the training. No, don't need the training, just give me the rank. Are you weird? You're nuts. You're genuinely nuts. No army in the world, I don't care which country it's from, they're not going to give you the rank unless you've got the training for the rank. You're not going to reign with Christ unless you've been trained to reign with Christ. You're not going to get eternal rewards, which carry, in a lot of cases, certain responsibilities and privileges, unless you've been trained for those things. Why do you think it's strange when God starts to train you? And one of the first things that he has to do, just like boot camp, he has to break down your self-oriented, self-centered, self-pitying little self and develop a little bit of character in you, so you can handle what's going to go on. So stop whining, stop fussing, stop crying about it. You're being blessed. Then it says in verse 13, rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, in other words, when he comes, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. You know, when you get that commission to reign, you're not going to be disappointed. You're not going to be sad then. When you get eternal rewards that you can never lose, you're not going to cry about those. So don't cry about them now. There's a season for everything. Some people, they've just trained themselves to cry about everything. And they're like, 65 years old, and you're thinking to myself, man, you're 65 going on 6. But fact of the matter is, God's giving you tremendous opportunities. God's giving you the chance to reign, the chance for rewards. God's giving you all kinds of amazing blessings. And we're so stupid, we look at it through a self-oriented viewpoint, and we say, oh, woe is me. Get a grip. Can you imagine what your angels are thinking? The angel next to your angel turns to you, you want to trade? No way. Fact of the matter is, for everything there is a season. And there's a time for every purpose under heaven. There is a time to be trained, and there is a time that you just kick back, relax, get blessed out of your orbit, and enjoy your blessing. But then there's a time when that's going to pass and you're going to be getting some more training. You're going to be getting some more character development. You're going to be getting some more just personal attention from God to give you whatever it is that you need. And he's not interested in so much what you want, although he will give it to you after a while, he's more interested in developing you so that he can give you the things you want. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart, but you got to learn how to delight yourself in the Lord first. And that requires training. All things work together for good in Romans 8:28, and the good is to conform me to the image of Christ in Romans 8:29. One of the major things that he does, and this is one of those seasons, Romans 5:3-5. Tribulations have their season. Problems have their season. Don't be surprised that they come. Problems have their season. Tribulation, trial, difficulty, it all has its season. It's not an eternal season. It's a temporary season, but there is a season. It will end, but there is a season. And in that season, God develops patience, which is the first characteristic of the love of God in 1 Corinthians 13:4. And then he develops experience, which is invaluable. You cannot put a worth on experience with God. It's one of the most valuable things you can have as a human being. And then he gives you a confident expectation because of those experiences. And when you experience God coming through for you time and again in very difficult things, to the point where now you simply expect him to because you've seen him do it so many times and he keeps doing it, that's where you realize that he loves you. And that's the image of Christ. God is love in 1 John 4:8. And when you start to realize that he loves you, you start to reflect that love. That's what that season was about. Because that's God's ultimate purpose for you. Embrace the season. Because you're going to love the outcome. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."